Welcome to In the Garden. We are on location and outdoors. Char, how does your garden grow?
I have to confess, I love gardening, but it's a little stressful right now. We'll talk about it in a moment. The plants are under stress, heat and dryness, and I think gardeners get a little stressed too.
I think they do. We enjoy gardening. We wait for this time all year. We plan for it. We prepare for it. We set money aside for it.
Yep.
And we have been undergoing probably one of the longest heat stretches this early in the season that probably both of us can remember. And once again, we are outside because we have been recording on location at Char's farm for many, many months now. However, we are outside in the garden having our garden conversation. And as we are outside, you're probably going to hear some birds chirping and maybe a plane or two going overhead. There's also the sound of a breeze, which we haven't felt in a long time.
Feels good.
It really does. And as I was telling Char too, it's, I think, probably one of the first overcast days that we have enjoyed this this summer. So we decided to do this show about heat and all the things that can happen during the heat to your plants, to you, to keep an eye out for, and also to give you hope that just because there is some heat that may be taking a toll on both you and your garden, not to give up, but there are things that you can do to mitigate the problems.
Don't give up.
No.
This too shall pass.
It shall. And we've got, this breeze just feels so good. I wish you could feel it. Heat-stressed gardens and gardeners can create a lot of frustration and a lot of anxiety. And it's so early for this kind of a heat wave. Unfortunately, we may have some later in the season as well. But I think if we take a look at some of our areas that we are gardening, and giving you some ideas of things that you can do to mitigate it. First of all, I'm going to endorse a product, and I never do this, but Frog Togs. It's FROGGTOGGS. And they produce a cooling bandana that you dunk in ice water. And my son uses it. He works in a very hot kitchen. I've used it out in the garden, and it's very large. It's a chamois type of material.
I'm sure
there are other types, but it has given such great relief. It keeps the back of your neck cool. It keeps your pressure points on your neck cool, and it really does cool down. And so if you do need to work out in this heat, make sure that you're hydrating. Everybody always says that. Also, you need to wear a hat. It may look silly. It may look goofy. You need to wear a hat. My sister, unfortunately, had to deal with some skin cancer from sun loving, from just being exposed. And it's just too important. Protect yourself with sunscreen and a big old floppy hat. It also protects your eyes a little bit if you can't wear glasses. I tend to sweat a lot in the garden, frankly, and my glasses run down my nose.
Oh, I know.
So I can't keep sunglasses on very easily, but a wide-brimmed hat really makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And then dress coolly. I mean, I must say, I might not look much when I go into the garden, but at least it keeps me cool.
Plants don't care.
The plants do not care. They're not very judgmental at all. Keeping in mind with this heat, there have been a lot of watering bans. Now, watering is such an essential part of gardening, and I know there's a lot of cities that have enacted watering bans. Both Char and I live in the country, so we do have wells.
We're fortunate, right.
But I'm spending a lot more in electricity because the pump is running, and I'm not trying to have a lawn anymore. I had a misguided approach that this year I was going to have a lawn. I've given up on that because my plants are more important.
And the one thing, you can't kill a grass lawn. It will come back. It'll turn brown, but it will come back. It doesn't die.
It will. Well, speaking of lawns, I know my son has a lawn mowing service, and he is setting his deck up farther. And I think that's something that everybody does. It doesn't look quite as manicured as maybe you would like to have it and maybe your neighbors would like to have it, but it does preserve your lawn. And it's also better for weeds.
Right.
You keep your lawn a little bit, you know, the weeds don't have a chance to get a hold. So I don't know. Everybody has to make their own decision. And if you're an every other watering gardener, those are the burdens that we have to bear during this kind of stress. Once again, we are outdoors in the garden, and you may hear an occasional plane go over because Char is right in the flight path of the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. But this breeze feels so good. We couldn't pass up the opportunity to just keep going with our program. All right, so we're talking about this heat wave. Now, perennials, even if the tops are crispy, the roots may still be fine.
Right.
So
you just don't want to overwater them so that the roots are sitting in mud. Mm-hmm. You need the plant to work a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to mention, during the heat of the day, the saving action of leaves wilting, that's to protect the perennial itself. So if you see it wilt in the hottest of sun in the evening, it may just unfurl and come back again.
We're talking about watering, too, and you have to be really careful. Some people like to just set out a sprinkler or some sort of automatic watering, but if you do that at the heat of the day or when the sun is at its apex, you're going to scorch plants.
Right, right.
Now, plants can scorch. Is this true? Without water being on them, they can just scorch.
Just naturally, correct. It will happen to not only their leaves, but their blossoms. It'll just be like fried, if we want to use that expression.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, it won't necessarily kill the root and the heart of the plant itself.
But think of the farmers. On the way here to Char's this morning, I'm looking at the irrigators and the big boom arms that go over the fields and the difference between brown and green, frankly. We casual gardeners have one issue, but the farmers and people that grow for farmers markets, that's their income, sitting there in those fields shriveling and crisping up. So our hats off to people who are trying to make a living in these under these conditions. And speaking of farmers markets, you know, some of you are going to be going to your local farmers markets wherever you are, and there may not be the produce that you expect.
Right.
You know, some of the early spring crops that we look forward to in the early season farmers markets, they may have bolted. Char, can you tell us what bolting is?
Right. Bolting is when the plant is, because of stress and heat, is thinking that it's time to set seeds out. It will, for instance, lettuce will produce a seed stalk, and it will put out more bitter leaves. Lettuce, for instance, would have more of a bitter taste to its leaves, but you'll see the seed stalk develop. If you were planting any type of kale plants that have a head, cabbage in particular, if you had a cabbage, particularly the smaller head type variety, they may actually burst at this point. When they get so hot internally, they will just crack open. Now, if you harvested it right away, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, if you
made But you're just growing cooked cabbage.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
So cabbages, lettuce, broccoli, some of those early crops may not be doing too well. Is it done with that crop? Do you take that seed pod off? Will that give you any extra help?
Lettuce will not get much help by doing that. But if you had broccoli, I would keep that broccoli stem and stalk in the ground, because if we did get some rain and less heat later on, it will develop little side flowerets, maybe not a full-sized head. But don't throw away or dig up your broccoli and even cauliflower too early. The cabbage, it's not much you can do when they burst or pop. But lettuce also, not much you can do about that.
Well, I'm looking at my Swiss chard crop and just lamenting the fact that I may just have to buy it from a farmer's market or from a grocery this year, and I'm not going to have homegrown Swiss chard. It's just too hot. So we're talking about heat today, and we are in the garden, literally in Char's garden, and you may hear birds or planes or all kinds of, and also the wonderful sound of a gentle breeze, which we haven't had in a long time. And there's even a little black rain cloud that is developing over the west of us, and we are cheering here in the garden.
Fingers crossed.
We have to be prepared for almost everything in the garden. I've been most prepared by putting a lot of my things into containers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people don't like that idea. I like it because it's portable and it's come in really handy, especially during this heat wave. because I've been able to move it around. I've been moving it to the tree line, to the shade,
mm-hmm.
and where it may need regularly full sun, at least it's not burning.
Right.
So it may not be advancing, but I'm not losing ground. So I think I'm ahead. A lot of people like a very manicured lawn, and so they'll plant their things in hostas in amongst rocks, and they'll put them right up so there's no weeds. Well, the only problem with that, in this heat, some of those rocks will be conducive
right.
to heat, and they will actually start to scorch the undersides
yep.
of your
yep.
plants too. So mulch is a little bit more forgiving.
Yes.
It keeps the water in, it keeps the weeds down, but you don't have to worry about that bounce back effect of
yes.
that heat.
Yes.
So we're just trying to do anything that we can. We hope that some of these mm-hmm. tips will be helpful for you to mitigate this terrible heat that we're under. If you're not under the same conditions, we're glad for you, but
right.
there are so many people that are. We thought we needed to do a show on this topic. Our Facebook page, people have offered suggestions and questions from time to time, but I've been watching these groups that they're using standard umbrellas to protect some of their more fragile plants. I've seen people using card tables set up at odd angles to try to... So their yards must, you know, look a little peculiar, but they're doing everything
right,
they can. We,
right.
We're so protective of our plants.
I'm using a cart down by my one tomato plant. I've got a cart that's, it's plastic, kind of that heavy rosin, and I just move it with the sun so that I protect that freshly planted tomato a little bit.
Speaking of tomatoes, in this heat, they're just going off like gangbusters.
Oh, I love it.
I have a couple of them that are 4 foot tall.
Wow. They love it.
They really do. You have to also be careful too. I mean, give them enough water, but you have to worry about a blight as well. So
yes.
you don't want to have any mildew. I have 24 plants that
wow.
I put in, and they were basically bonus plants. So I'm hoping to get something out of them. I have no idea. They came without tags. So I have no idea what kind of fruit I'm going to get off of them, but they're loving this heat.
Oh, yes. That's what tomatoes do. They love heat. There's quite a few things in the garden that like heat. The vining plants, as long as there's moisture underneath the surface. We did want to say, too, don't splash a lot of water on those leaves, because that will... Especially tomatoes. So try to water low down on the ground level. So
yeah, there's a lot of probably debate over overwatering and underwatering. And I think if your plant looks shriveled, you could probably guess. But, you know, use that finger. Use
yep.
that finger and
yep.
put it down in the
yep.
in the dirt a couple of inches and see what, you know, sometimes it'll look terribly cracked and dry on top, but even an inch or two under the soil surface, you've got enough moisture. So
right.
I guess just use some common sense, but use some old school
yep.
old school tools that you
methods.
Might have too.
You bet.
You know, I was talking about those slugs. And I think they have like a hot tub right now, because you use beer
uh-huh.
in a pie plate
yep.
to deter slugs.
Yep.
I haven't noticed as many slugs this year. I wonder if it's because of the heat.
And the dryness. They are moisture-loving critters or insects.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when there's more of a dry spring like this, you'll see less of them, which is a good thing.
It is a very good thing. Another thing that I haven't noticed as much is mosquitoes.
Right. They have to have moisture to breed and hatch in.
Exactly. We were talking about keeping our feathered friends happy. I have about 6 bird baths, Char.
8.
8 bird baths that have to be regularly maintained.
Yep.
One of my bird baths has mostly stones in it. And so that the smaller birds and the butterflies and the bees can take advantage of that
yes.
water.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, if your bird bath is out in the hot sun, it's going to be hot.
Right.
It will be a hot tub as well. So you might want to move it. They like a lot of, visibility. They want
yes.
to make sure that they're, you know, flying into a safe area.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tuck it back a little bit underneath the tree, you know, that breeze. I just have to mention, the breeze
We're
is coming
just
up.
Loving it.
We really are. This is a treat for us.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that there hasn't been too much, for the birds staying away We continue to feed, although we take our bird feeders down at night because of the raccoons.
Oh.
The raccoons, and then the squirrels are pretty much decimating our bird feeder this summer. They must either be very greedy or very hungry, but they eat more than our birds do. So I do take them down in the late evening and, mm-hmm. and even in the mid-morning until the birds come around again. But right now there's a robin taking a beautiful bird bath and one of Char's fountains here. And I think if you keep some water available, you are going to have more of the birds
yep.
and the butterflies and those wonderful bees. And I have to throw thanks out to my husband who got me a bee house. It's called Bee Kind to Friendly Bees.
Made out of wood.
Yeah, it's made out of wood and bamboo. And it has, it looks like a small birdhouse.
But more upright.
Yeah. It actually looks like a little old outhouse, I think.
It does.
With a little roof. And then it has little
cut bamboo. That's, of course, hollow.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the bees are supposed to go in there. And
wonderful.
And it's not to create a hive. It's basically to just
give them a little shelter. Give them protection.
Maybe it's a B&B.
A B&B. I love that.
So whatever you're bringing into your yard and whatever challenges you're having in your yard with this heat, our hearts go out to everyone because yeah. we know how much time and energy we put in. We love to see the blooms and we love to eat the produce and we love to enjoy mm-hmm. all of our hard labors, especially when half of the year it's covered by that white stuff.
I know. This is the time we want to relish and sometimes but that's part of gardening. You face obstacles, dryness or heat, and you try to overcome or figure out a way around it.
You know, Char, this heat may have caused some irregularities in some of the timing of some of our crops, too. We would like to mention that Christina from Hastings let us know that her catalpa tree is blooming weeks earlier than normal. And I'm just wondering if anyone else has had some of those experiences where their crops, especially because of this heat, are just accelerating at a rapid pace.
That could be.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
That's right.
And if you have an unusual invention that you're using.
We want to hear.
We want to hear about it. If you have something that you've rigged up or some netting or some mm-hmm. barriers that that you are finding working, please share them with us. Mm-hmm. You can find us at In the Garden with Kelly and Char on Facebook. And you can hear us every Wednesday here on KDWA. And we will try to provide timely tips and helpful information. And from our wonderful, breezy backyard, Char, thanks so much for doing a great job at preparing all of this information. And we have lots of different topics coming up, too. We're going to be going all the way through the end of November. So we have lots of different topics and show focuses that hopefully will apply to you. And keep listening, keep watering, keep cool.
Yep.
And enjoy us next time on In the Garden.
Bye, everyone.
That's our show for today. Be sure to tune in next week to In the Garden with Kelly and Char. Heard each Wednesday on KDWA Radio and online at kdwa.com.